This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Yes, indeed. And this morning, joining me on our Smart Garden Show, brought to us by Great Garage Floors, is none other than Mary Meyer from the U of M. Hi, Mary. Good morning.
Good morning, Denny. Good to be with you to talk about gardening today.
Yeah, some of us woke up extra early today because of all the noise out there. Much needed rain, though, as far as I'm concerned, in my yard and the shrubs and everything else. Was getting a little bit dry, kind of tired of watering that stuff all the time. But I'm even looking now at the current dew point. Let me get this correct. I know it's getting more comfortable, but the dew point right now is 69, and that's still kind of humid.
Yes, you're right. I was really glad to see the rain. I had an inch and a half in my rain gauge.
Uh-huh.
I was just thinking about dragging out more hoses and yesterday, and I thought, oh, good, an inch and a half is wonderful.
Absolutely. Well, if you do have any kind of a lawn or garden question, if you're a regular listener to the show, you know how busy we tend to get. So call us or text Mary early, 651-461-9226. I'm looking at the text. I want to ask you something else, but let's get to a couple texts before we get too far behind. This listener, Mary, would like to plant daffodil bulbs in the lawn this fall, early in mid-spring blooming. Will the foliage die back enough to mow over at a reasonable time in the spring?
Well, for daffodils, you really want to keep the foliage green until it naturally dies. And so they're going to be pretty conspicuous. Maybe you can make a planting of the daffodils where you mow around them, so you have like an island of daffodil foliage. But yes, you cannot cut that foliage off if you want the daffodils to be there more than 1 year. They kind of need to grow for about 6 weeks after they flower. So that's quite a while. There are some minor bulbs that you can plant. The crocus, Chionodoxa, the smaller bulbs, that their foliage is not as conspicuous and it doesn't take as long for their foliage to die. But daffodils, it's several weeks.
All right, very good. Another listener says, my dahlias are only chin high. I don't think they'll bloom this year. Could it be the weather?
You know, I have heard and seen a very slow growth on dahlias this year, and I'm afraid it is the weather. Now, dahlias like hot conditions, and we have had some hot days, but we've also had some quite cool days. But they normally take our long season, they like hot weather, and they like full sun. So hopefully we will have another mild fall and they will do well. But yeah, I have seen that just slow growth this year on dahlias, and I think it is the weather.
Okay. Let us take a phone call this morning. Bob is checking in from Painesville, I believe, this morning. Good morning, Bob. What is your question for Mary?
Hi, Mary. We live in rural Painesville, and we have a no-mow area that's probably 50 yards long, 30 yards wide on one end, and then it tapers down. In the past 3 years, we've had wonderful black-eyed sultans that grow. And this year, we don't have a single one growing. And I was wondering if possibly the seeds have rotted from all the rain we've had this year.
Yes, black-eyed Susans, Bob, tend to be more of an annual than a perennial. And they are wonderful to plant in bee lawns or prairie restorations. But they tend to come up early the first year or two, and then they tend to decline. So you might want to reseed them. If that's really a favorite of yours, you might want to reseed and get some black-eyed Susans. Now, there are also other perennial sunflower-like plants that you could think of planting. And we have lists of those on our Extension website. But black-eyed Susan is not a long-lived perennial. Now, many times it will reseed itself, but you can't count on that 100%. So reseeding it, if you like that plant, I would just buy some more of it and seed that in there.
Very good. Thanks for the call. We have a line here that's open if you want to call and chat with Mary or just send her a text, 651-461-9226. Mary, this listener planted white clover in the unused part of their garden. Question is, should I be mowing this or letting it grow?
Well, if you can let it grow, that's ideal. White clover is not a very tall plant. It's definitely less than a foot, and it's often less than 6 inches. So I would, as much as possible, I would mow 4 inches. If you can leave it at 4 inches, that will help sustain the clover. So if you cut it off at 2 inches, that's really going to be tough for that clover to grow. 3 inches is kind of marginal. 4 inches is ideal. And if you have a patch of it, you could maybe mow around that patch till it establishes. But you want to mow minimally to keep the clover increasing and growing.
All right. Another phone call in mind here. Jerry, this time calling from St. Paul. Jerry, good morning. What is your question for Mary Meyer?
Good morning. Thank you. Mary, I have a problem with my lawn. I don't know if it's a weed or if it's grass, but I've had it before, but never on this large of a scale. And what it is, it looks like grass. It's got a wider blade, but it's a kind of a light, almost a bright green color. What is that stuff? And maybe you could spell the name out for me so I know what it is.
Well, without a picture, Jerry, it's a guess, but I'll give you the educated guess. It's probably nutsedge. Nutsedge is a light green color. It has a wider blade than a grass, and it tends to pull up easily. It kind of has a white base, and sometimes you can actually see a tiny nut at the bottom of it or a bulb-like growth at the bottom of it. Nutsedge is really difficult to get rid of. It tends to have the top growth and the nut, and then it tends to have a subterranean root system. So it is really a tough plant to get rid of. Removing it, digging it out with a shovel or taking it out by hand, if there's just a little bit of it, you might be able to get rid of it like that. But you might have to use a chemical control like glyphosate, which kills everything, but that's good at killing nutsedge. I'd have to look up to see if there's really a chemical that just kills nutsedge and doesn't kill grass. But I think what you have is nutsedge.
What do you call that style? I know we have to break here, Mary. I was just noticing yesterday in my yard, besides other weeds, it's taller. Maybe it's not the dark green. It's a little lighter, but it's definitely a taller blade. Is that quackgrass?
Oh, it could be, yes, because
okay.
Quackgrass will shoot up. And yes, another horrible weed to control, especially in lawns.
Oh, boy. More work. Okay. Hang on. We'll take this quick break, be back on the other side. We have more text questions coming in. Again, if you prefer to call Mary with your lawn and garden question, great. 651-461-9226. That'll get you a phone call or a text question here on our Smart Garden Show. By the way, brought to us every week, and we thank them, by Great Garage Floors. And welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show. You have a lawn and garden question, we'd love to hear from you either by phone or by text. 651-461-9226. If you're just joining us, Mary Meyer from the U of M is answering those lawn and garden questions today. And got a bunch of them, Mary, by phone and by text. So that'll keep you hopping here the rest of the hour. In fact, let's grab a phone call. First of all, Gary is calling in from Maple Lake with a question. Then we'll take some text. Thanks, Gary. Good morning. What's your question, please?
Good morning. I've got several hundred gladiola bulbs. And I've always had yellows, reds, you know, the darker colors, and very few whites. And for some unknown reason, this year when I planted them, I mean, their flowering canes are 3 feet tall. But it seems like everything's turned to white or pink. The white have an inner circle of red, and the pinks might have a little red inside of them, but kind of like, you know, red stripes. I was wondering, why did they all turn red? I mean, white or pink when I've never really had those colors.
Yeah, this is so fascinating, isn't it, Gary? How can plants do that? How can they change on me like that? And sometimes there are easy explanations and sometimes they're not. Many times what happens is plants that are more vigorous, actually those bulbs get to be bigger. And when we're, glads in Minnesota, of course, we have to dig them up and replant them. And sometimes the vigorous ones just take over. And with over time, you end up with more plants that are vigorous. Sometimes they're seedlings, as when phlox, that will self-seed, and those plants will kind of revert to all magenta. Glads is a harder one to really figure out, but what I can tell you is that the bulbs that you saved are just the more vigorous ones. And over time, we do see these changes with the more annual plants, things that aren't tree-like, that, you know, the tree stands there and doesn't change its identity. But replant, you just need to get new bulbs every few years. And if you can sort out those bulbs when you're actually digging them up from in the fall, that is another way to try to preserve them. Sort them out, separate them, and keep them in bags, and then really evaluate the size of the bulbs and so on to try to maintain the identity with the colors. But that it really is a challenge, and it's nature at work.
All right, very good. We're going to get back to the phones. We have a bunch of text messages as well. Here's one, Mary. Texas says, we have a 15-by-20-foot section of our yard we're going to be killing off and reseeding. Nothing but weeds right now. Do you have a preference of what to put down over the new seed to help with moisture, whether it be peat moss straw, a seed cover blanket, or possibly something else? Also, do the blankets with the seed in them work as well as just putting seed down by itself? Couple of questions there.
So mulching after seeding with grass really does help, because it helps to maintain the moisture so the seed will germinate sooner. So seed blankets or straw mulch, clean straw mulch, is really something good to put on. You can use a blanket. I've used a blanket that does not have seed in it, because good grass seed is expensive. And you want to put down good grass seed, because that will really help you in the long run. Inexpensive grass seed is often a very short-lived annual. And then you wonder the next year what happened. Well, the plant was only an annual. So I would get good grass seed and then use a seed blanket that is straw that you can just roll out, or if it's not 15 by 20 feet, yeah, I would buy a seed blanket. Well, no, it's a straw blanket, sorry, a straw blanket without any seed in it that you can simply roll down over the area. And you might need some something to attach it with. So,
like stakes?
Like stakes or big staples. You can buy staples to attach it down. But then that will deteriorate on its own. And by the time you mow the lawn, the seed blanket is pretty much gone.
Very good. I think we have Kelly number two on the line to ask you a question. Kelly, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Mary. I have a question about my squash success or failure this year. I planted 3 spaghetti squash plants, 3 butter nut plants, and 3 buttercup plants. The spaghetti and buttercup simply failed. The butternuts have thrived and are lots and lots of flowers, but no produce forming. All same ground, same sun, same water. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think a lot of this is due to weather conditions, because with the squash, all 3 of these squash, on one vine, they're male and female flowers. And only the female flowers have this small small growth below the flower that will turn into a squash. But the weather often determines whether or not they're going to have female flowers or male flowers. Temperatures, et cetera, can determine that. And many times with the vines, the early flowers are all males. So you get the big orange flower and then it falls off and there's nothing there. But the female flowers will come later. But the other thing you need to have is you need to have like a half a dozen plants. So 4 to 6 individual plants so that you have multiple flowers that will come out, so you have a better chance of getting the fruit. So if you've only got, well, you said you had 3 of each, 3 plants. So, yeah, that's like the minimum. But within those 3, if they have enough room to grow, there should be multiple flowers on each one of the vines. But it's getting late. But if we have a mild fall, sometimes within a few weeks, those in hot weather, the plants, squashes can set fruit and grow quite quickly. So hopefully you'll still get something.
Very good. Mary, before we break for that weather forecast, let's take another call. And it's from Kay from Glencoe this morning. Hi, Kay. What is your question?
Good morning. I have a problem with our grass. Last week, while walking on the grass, it makes your shoes turn orange. And mowing the lawnmower's all orange. What could that be, and how can we take care of that?
That's rust. That's a leaf spot disease that grasses get. Perennial ryegrass tends to get that a lot, and so does Kentucky bluegrass. The fescues, a little bit, but yes, this is an indication. Yes, your shoes turn orange and mower turns orange. Rust is not usually fatal. It doesn't usually kill your grass. It has to live on living tissue. So once you cut it off, the rust on that is going to die. So for a homeowner, I think you will be okay. The lawn will still continue to grow and you won't have a problem. But if you have to reseed in the future, I would use fescues and reseed with fescue, which has less likelihood of getting rust.
Okay. Mary, we're going to break for a look at that forecast. Before we do, I want to pose a text, and maybe you can do a little thinking about this. Texter wants to know, what are some colorful bee-friendly flowering perennials I can put between my bee lawn and a strip of woods? So we'll let you think about that for a while, and we'll have a look at that forecast coming up here. And more Smart Garden 2, brought to us by Great Garage Floors. And welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here along with Mary Meyer from the U of M answering those lawn and garden questions. Before the break, and for those folks just joining us, Mary, I posed the question of from this texter who said, what are some colorful bee-friendly flowering perennials they can put between my bee lawn and a strip of woods? What do you think?
Yes, yeah, so there are actually many of these. Many of our big perennials that grow in the prairie are great for bees. Joe pieweed, now this is a big plant, but that's one that bees really love. Alliums. I have a lot of alliums blooming now, the flowering onions in my garden, and they look like chives. Chives are a great plant to grow, but all of those flowering onions and alliums are wonderful for bees. There's also calamint. Calamint is a fantastic plant in the mint family that bees love. Nepeta or cat mint also is great. And any of the sunflowers. Sunflowers and zinnias, those are annuals, but boy, those are just fantastic for bees also. But we have long lists of these on the extension.umn.edu website.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that because we always like to mention that every show because it is such a great resource. Another thing we like to talk about is the Arboretum. Always a good year, any time of the year, to go to the Arboretum.
Oh, that's right. It's fabulous now because the prairie is in bloom and it looks absolutely wonderful with that Joe Pye weed. And many of the grasses are flowering now, so they really look good. The other things are the hydrangeas. Oh, the hydrangeas in many of the gardens at the Arbor. Then we have a hydrangea collection. The phlox looks beautiful. Big hibiscus. The hibiscus with those giant dinner plate flowers, they're starting to flower. And the dahlias are starting to flower as well. This Saturday, today at the Arboretum, is the soy food day. So if you want to look at soybeans up close, you can see the soybeans growing. You can see some soybeans harvested. And then in the kitchen, the farm kitchen there, there will be soy tasting. So if you haven't eaten soybeans, we use soybeans in so many of our foods, but we can eat soybeans as well. So that's a fun thing to do, but lots going on at the Arboretum. You do need to have a reservation to go on the weekends especially, and that's easy to do online. No problem with that. Just go to the website, arboretum.umn.edu.
Great place. Love the Arb. Texter says this, Mary, on a 4-year-old crabapple tree, can I thin out some of the branches? It's loaded with leaves with no airflow.
You know, this is a tough time to be pruning plants. I usually quit after July 15th to do pruning, so I would wait to do that. Pruning in the fall is really not a good idea. I'd wait until the tree is totally dormant.
Okay. This texter says they live in the southwest corner of Minneapolis. There were a number of trees with large pea pod-like seeds planted along the boulevards, but they all died this year. Do you know what kind of tree they were and what happened to them?
You know, I don't, but the pea pod-like seeds, the I have one in my backyard. It's the big heart-shaped catalpas.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah, catalpa has a bean-like pod, and it will have numerous, like, long pods where the flowers were. But I don't know why they died other than the time of year they were planted. If they were planted last fall, and we went through 2 or 3 months with no rain, hardly any snow in the winter, a lot of plants died this past winter. It was a very tough 8 months to get through with no water, and then the winter and the cold. So hopefully those plants will be replanted. Catalpa is a great plant to grow. It's native further south of here, but it lives in Minnesota and very fast growing as well.
Beginning of that time of year, Mary, when we get questions from our listeners about seeding, and then we'll be in the dormant seeding period, I know, coming up soon. But
yes.
This texter says they have some small bare spots in my yard where the grass seed didn't take. Is it too late to add soil and grass seed?
No, we're getting into the ideal time for seeding. We usually think August 15th to September 15th. So we're August 15th is very close by. So I would get the seed and get ready to do it. And this in the cooler weather we hope is coming with traditionally rainfall, this is a good time to be reseeding or seeding in general. Yeah.
Yeah. Listener wants to know, should creeping bellflower be eradicated?
Oh, yes. This is a really difficult weed, and we see a lot more of it now, especially in the cities here. I see a lot of it. And yes, you should try to eradicate it. It has a huge root system. If you start digging it up, you will see the size of its root system with large storage structure roots, big white roots. It's very difficult to get rid of. So you can try mowing it off, cutting it off, digging it up. Digging it up is tough because you leave a piece and that will grow again. So digging it up or cutting it off. And then there's also chemical removal as well.
Okay. Listener has Brussels sprouts and cauliflower have lots of dried up leaves in the lower part and insect holes on them. Neither one have produced anything all summer. Is it a lost cause?
Well, both of the crucifers really would prefer cooler temperatures, and it gets to hot conditions, and they often are slow to develop. I would not give up on them, and I would wait to see what happens, but cauliflower can be more of a challenge. Brussels sprouts just take really a long season to grow. Broccoli is usually more dependable and easier than cauliflower or Brussels sprouts, but I wouldn't give up on them yet.
Visitors joining us, Mary Meyer from the U of M, answering our lawn and garden questions this morning. Here is another text. I have a lilac bush that's very large and tall, and its leaves are crumpling, turning brown and dropping. Is it dying is the first question. Secondly, can I cut it drastically back, and will new shoots grow?
Could you repeat the kind
sure.
of plant, Denny?
It's a lilac bush.
Oh, brown, yes. Yeah, you know, our lilacs have been so challenged with the changes in weather conditions, and we know now that there are a number of leaf spot diseases that they are getting. Sanitation, cleaning up around them if this is practical, cleaning up the brown leaves, making sure that they are well watered, that shouldn't be a problem this summer. But pruning off anything that's totally dead, improving the air circulation around them can help also. Most lilacs will grow out of this, and I've seen it isn't as bad this summer as it was last year, but we still have time left for them to deteriorate. But basically, they don't like hot weather, and they're getting more diseases.
Okay. Texter says this, I've had a hydrangea for 3 years with a total of 2 blooms. This year, nothing was green. All the stalks were white. I just left them. A month ago, green leaves started coming up from the bottom. Is that normal? And should I cut the hydrangea down in the fall?
Yeah, I don't like to do any pruning on hydrangeas because many times you're cutting off the flower buds. So the hydrangeas, there's so many different kinds of hydrangeas, and the reversion to white or growing back to white is often the case. It really helps if you know what kind of hydrangea you have. And there are several different kinds that you can have, but the big leaf macrophyllas tend to be more difficult for us to grow. But I would not prune this, and I would wait another year to see how it does next year.
Okay. Is it too early to cut back peonies? Texter wants to know.
Yes, I think it's a little early. Unless your peony has turned brown, you really should not cut it back. I usually wait till into September to cut my peonies back.
Okay. Texter wants to know, when's the best way to control forget-me-not?
Oh, forget-me-not. Well, there are a couple different plants with forget-me-not as a common name. And usually controlling those isn't a difficult thing. But I would say mow it. Mow it off. Mow it off if possible, or cut it off.
Okay.
Denny, I have looked up some more better answers to the glad's changing color.
Oh, great.
Because this is always troubling when a plant will change color. We talked a little bit with the hydrangea with changing color, but with glad's, some of the reversion might be due to viruses, that after several years, glad's are subjected to viruses, and that can alter the color that's there. Some hybrid glad's actually don't keep their color, and they tend to revert to more stable, less attractive colors. What I did end up telling the caller, let's see, that was Gary at Maple Plain, that buy new bulbs. So the reversion might be due to just non-stable hybrids or viruses.
All right, very good. On that note, thanks for looking that up. We'll take this quick break. Be right back. We have a bunch of text messages to answer yet here on our Smart Garden Show, brought to us by Great Garage Floors. Stay with us. And welcome back to 830 WCCO. We're in the midst of our garden show. We call it Smart Garden. And if you, again, are just joining us, Mary Meyer from the U of M is answering all the questions today. And we still have a bunch, Mary. Let's see how many we can get through, get some help. Here's one. Several of our tiger lilies did not come up this year, and the ones that did come up are very wispy and short, did not bloom. You think it was winter kill or from the lack of snow cover? What do you think?
Yes, I think it probably was winter kill, even though this tiger lilies, I think these are the day lilies that are kind of wild-like. They are a tough plant, but yes, we saw massive plants die, and so hopefully they will just grow stronger and will have more better rainfall this fall and a better snow cover.
Oh, let's hope so, yeah. Grabbing a phone call this morning, Monica checking in from Bloomington, I believe. Thank you, Monica. What's your question for Mary?
Oh, good morning. My question is about bee balm. I've had it, a plant in my yard for about 2 years, and it bloomed beautifully earlier in the season, and I just went out there. I hadn't watered it since the last time we had rain, and I just went out there yesterday, and I noticed all the petals of the flower are off. And the leaves look okay, but I'm just wondering, you know, is it dead? Should I have watered it more soon? And no. Should I just see what happens next year if it comes back?
No, I think it's fine, Monica. Many of our perennials don't have long-lasting flowers, and yes, the extreme heat may have shortened the time that it did flower. You can cut off or deadhead, take the flowers off the top of it, and as long as the leaves are green, yes, it should be fine. Yeah, no problem.
All right. Very good. My tomato plants, Texter says, have leaf spot, early blight, I believe. This happens every year. I've tried all the remedies I can find, mulching, watering at the base, rotating to different raised beds and copper fungus spray. I even tried a non-organic spray out of desperation. My plants look like bean poles from stripping leaves. Sunscald, also a problem with no leaves. I also use shade cloth during the really hot weather. I'm ready to give up on tomatoes. What do you think?
Oh my goodness! Don't give up on tomatoes. But this is how devoted gardeners are, right? This person has tried so many things. It is really tough. I don't know. Can any gardener grow a tomato without getting the multiple diseases that they get? The only thing I will say to you is, everything you've done is right. You really have to pay attention to the type of tomato and the varieties, and plant a multiple kind of plant multiple varieties. So buy tomatoes from a reputable grower, save the labels, make sure you know which varieties you have, Celebrity, Jetstar, Early Girl, some of the old classics. The label will tell you the disease resistance of the tomatoes. And, you know, I buy one tomato, five different, six different, seven different kinds of tomatoes because they vary in their disease resistance. But you're doing everything right. The only thing that, another thing that I found that does help is tomatoes in containers on my back porch, completely surrounded by air and kind of isolated from other plants, they tend to get less diseases than the ones grown in a garden right beside other plants. But it is very tough to have a tomato with no diseases. There's actually been some trials done by plant pathologists showing that you still can get a decent crop of tomatoes, even if they have all this disease issue. So you can still get some tomatoes, maybe not as many as you would like.
Okay. Here's a problem. My neighbor's yard, texter says, is filled with Creeping Charlie. The Creeping Charlie creeping into my yard. What can I apply in my yard, in the neighbor's yard, on the edge, to prevent it from coming into my yard? That's a tough one.
Yeah, this is a tough one. I would actually recommend that you talk to your neighbor and say, you know, if they haven't noticed it, just remind them that you are not interested in Creeping Charlie being on your lawn and you're doing your best to control it. And maybe they wouldn't mind if you used a herbicide a few feet into their yard, but just talk to them and remind them that it does bother you. It is very difficult because Creeping Charlie will just come right over there and grow very quickly. We actually have this instance. We are the Creeping Charlie people in our neighborhood. And so our neighbor next door doesn't like Creeping Charlie. So my husband does control it 2 or 3 feet into our property.
Oh.
Yes.
It's a part of the mint family, right?
Yes, it's part of the mint family. Very aggressive. We're getting to the time. Fall is usually a prime time to control it because it's big now. There's a lot of it out there. And it's had just a field day this summer with the rain conditions. So,
oh, I bet.
There are multiple herbicides that will kill it. The lawn weed control that has 2 or 3 combination chemicals, and it will say Creeping Charlie or ground ivy on the label.
Very good. I have, texter says, 3 pine trees about 12 years old. I'd like to open the bottom of all 3. When can they be trimmed?
The best time to trim is really, we think, what we know so far, is when the plants are really dormant. So in the dead of winter is a good time.
Okay. Let's see what we have. We have a couple of minutes to go on the show. Another tomato question. Why won't my tomatoes ripen? I have lots of green tomatoes. I've always had red tomatoes by August, but not this year.
Yeah, it's usually heat that ripens tomatoes. But tomatoes are funny. If it gets really cool or really hot, they don't like it. So, you know, we have had extremes this year. And once tomatoes are mature green in size, you can pick them and ripen them indoors. We do this in the fall when, of course, frost is coming and know that they will ripen indoors. The other thing is it's variety dependent. So depending on what variety you have, if you still have the label, you can read the days usually to harvest that's on that label. And that's usually days from planting it outside until you can harvest it. But some varieties just take a long time.
I'll need your help on this pronunciation of this one. Is it bromeliad? Bromeliad?
Yes, bromeliad, yeah.
Bromeliad, does that plant only bloom with one flower and not again? Texter wants to know. The plant has beautiful greenery, but no flower again in a couple of years.
Yeah, bromeliads actually is kind of the center of that plant that blooms. And they're a conservatory plant. They're a tropical. We have to grow them indoors. I'd have to look that up to really see if they only bloom once. You know, it's kind of like the whole top of the plant turns color, and then it lasts for quite a long time. So that would kind of make sense to me, but they last so long when they bloom. I'm looking it up.
You're checking it out. Okay.
Yeah, once in a lifetime blooms, which can last for several months.
Right, very good.
So that is it. Yeah, you have to get a new one.
All right. Well, we just have about a minute or less, actually, to go. Let's remind our listeners, if you would, Mary, to get to the arboretum quickly. What a couple of things we can see there now.
Right now, I think the hydrangeas and the hydrangea collection are beautiful. I think the prairie is. You know, the annual garden, though, it's really super. Citrus colors. So lemon, orange, limes, reds. It is just a gorgeous. The annual garden is beautiful. So the arboretum, you need to get a ticket to go on the weekend, but it's a wonderful place to go for your family, if you have friends from out of town. And then, you know, we had so many questions today, Denny, about what plant to plant.
Yeah.
And so extension.umn.edu, and click on lawn and garden. That is where you can find many different things to plant and which plant is the best for which conditions. So the great resource at extension.umn.edu.
And a lot of information about your lawn, too. You get a whole program.
That's really good stuff. Yeah, maybe
right.
John will be on next week.
That's right. Oh, good. Next week. Very good. Mary, always a pleasure. Always fun having you on the radio. I know we'll talk soon.
I enjoy it a lot. Thank you, Denny.
You bet. Mary Meyer from the U of M. Yeah, next week, probably Julie and John, our turf guru. Yeah, we hope too. All right. Thanks, Mary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.